everybody! Today, I'll be reading chapter 26 and 27 of Avengers 1. Chapter 26. Above Tony Stark and Loki on the rooftop, the Tesseract activated. A beam of blue energy pierced the sky. Literally. It opened a hole 50,000 feet above New York. On the other side of that hole was a space. And the waiting Chitauri. They began to pour through, riding some odd machines, like flying motorcycles. There were dozens of them at first, then hundreds, racing down towards the city that lay defenseless below. Or at least, Tony thought, the Chitauri thought it was defenseless. He flew up to meet them, somewhere, he hoped, not too far away. The rest of the team was coming. It sure was going to be a long day if he had to take on the entire Chitauri invading force by himself. In a suit that had never even been tested in the field. As fast as he could, Tony blasted the Chitauri out of the air with reporters and shoulder-mounted mini-missiles. There were too many of them. They got past him and flew all over the streets of New York, shooting wildly and destroying anything in their path. The Battle of New York had begun. Newly transformed into his Asgardian armor and helmet, Loki watched. At last, his conquest was beginning. Then, for the second time in a few minutes, he was unpleasantly surprised by the appearance of someone he had thought dead. Thor had dropped out of the sky to land on Tony's balcony.
Loki!
He roared.
Turn off the Tesseract, or I'll destroy it.
You can't! Loki cried out, riding a wave of exhilaration at seeing his army finally in action. There's no stopping it. There's only the war.
So be it.
Thor growled. Loki jumped down from the rooftop and slashed at Thor with a scepter. Thor blocked it and struck back with Mjolnir. They battled with the fury that only brothers at war can feel. The combat tearing pieces away from the top of Stark Tower to fall onto the roofs of short buildings nearby. The army revolved it through the streets. New York was rapidly falling into chaos. The creature was coming in hot, with Bart in the controls and Natasha monitoring the situation, which didn't look so good. She saw Iron Man zigzagging through the city and broke rage silence to let him know they were close. Stark, 103, headed northeast, Natasha said.
What, did you stop for a drive-thru? Swing up Park Avenue, I'm going to lay them out for you.
A large group of Chitauri right on Tony's tail. He angled north and then banked back around. The Chitauri followed, and the creature caught them from the side, shooting many of them down with his belly-mounted cannon. Sir, we have more incoming, Jarvis said.
Fine, let's keep him occupied,
Tony said. The creature swung by Stark Tower, still firing as the Chitauri air bites came within range. Hawkeye saw Thor and Loki fighting. He gestured to the Black Widow.
Nat?
I see them. Hawkeye brought the creature around and slowed it to a near hover so she could target Loki. But before the creature's gun locked in, Loki got off a bolt of energy from his scepter. It exploded in the creature's left wing engine, sending the jet into a violent downward spiral. Only Hawkeye's superb piloting skills kept them from crashing straight down and taking most of the building with them. As it was, they landed hard on a street side plaza a few blocks from Stark Tower. Quickly, they unbuckled and got out of the Quinjet with Captain America on the lead. We need to get back up there, he said. They ran towards Stark Tower as the Chitauri flashed overhead, starving the streets. Tony was shooting them down as fast as he could, but there was still plenty left. And then, a groaning noise came from the hole in the sky, and they looked up to see a giant creature coming through the Chitauri space. It was hundreds of feet long, with a gaping mouth and a tail that undulated up and down as it seemed to swim through the air. It had no wings. It had fins and bony spikes sticking up from its back. It was like a giant skeletal fish that could fly, and it bore down on New York. As it dove between the skyscrapers of mid-down portholes inside opened, and Chitauri foot soldiers leapt out, hanging onto the sides of buildings and breaking in through the windows. Stark, I seen this, Cap radioed.
Seeing, still working on believing,
Tony answered. He was hotter than Leviathan's tail, but he had no idea how to fight something that big. A flick of its armored body destroyed whole floors of buildings.
Where's Banner? Has he shown up yet?
Banner? Pap echoed.
Just keep me posted.
Shh, Tony said. They're going to need Bruce before this was all over. He flew in parallel with the Leviathan, wondering what to do next.
Jarvis, find me a soft spot,
he said. Jarvis got to work. But while he did that, Tony was going to have to distract the monster before he wrecked the city all by itself. He made a pass in front of the Leviathan and speckled its head with mini-missiles. They didn't hurt it, but turned to come after him with a roar that shook bricks loose from nearby storefronts.
Well, we got his attention. What was step two?
He wondered aloud as he accelerated away. Chapter 27.
Look at this!
Thor shouted, holding Loki and forcing him to gaze out of the destruction in the city.
You think this madness will end with your rule?
It's too late, Loki said. Thor thought he was beginning to understand what he had done. It's too late to stop it.
No,
Thor said.
We can, together.
Loki looked him in the eye, and then betrayed Thor again, stabbing him in the side with a knife hidden in his sleeve. Thor dropped to the ground, clutching the wound. Sentiment, Loki said mockingly. Enraged, Thor got to his feet and pounded Loki through the window. Then he lifted him up and slammed him into the stone balcony. He was beyond talking now, and Loki knew he was in trouble. He looked to his scepter, but it was out of his reach. So he rolled to the edge of the balcony and let himself fall. Thor rushed to the edge and looked down. Loki fell and landed on a passenger tower flying machine. Piloting it, he sped away, leaving Thor alone on top of Stark Tower. On a bridge, Cap huddled behind a destroyed car with the Black Widow and Hawkeye.
Lots of civilians trapped up there,
Hawkeye said, indicating the nearby buildings. A flight of Chitauri went over, and Cap noticed something different about one of them. Loki, he said. He's shooting at the civilians fleeing through the streets. They're fishing a barrel down there. Chitauri foot soldiers dropped onto the bridge and advanced towards them. Well, then, Natasha said. Go. You think you can hold them off? Steve asked. Hawkeye glanced over his shoulder as he knocked an arrow.
Captain, it would be my genuine pleasure.
They swung into action. Cap sprinted down the street in pursuit of Loki, while Hawkeye and Black Widow started taking down the Chitauri and freeing trapped civilians. On the street level, Cap dodged explosions. Just like Budapest all over again, Natasha said, as she shot down a pair of Chitauri, trying to get behind them.
You and I remember Budapest very differently,
Barton said. Steve got to the police lines. They were finding the Chitauri and holding their ground, but they were clearly overwhelmed. He had one of them say it would be an hour before the military could arrive. Do they know what's going on here? A second cop said. The first cop looked up at the Leviathan.
Do we?
Steve vaulted over a line of destroyed vehicles and landed on top of a taxi. The police pointed their guns at him, but ignored that. You need men in these buildings. There are people inside and they're going to be running right into the line of fire. Take them to the basements or to the subway. Keep them off the streets. And you're prevented as far as back as 39th. The sergeant looked at him like he just escaped from the loony bin.
Why should I take orders from you?
Steve didn't have time to argue about it, because at that moment the Chitauri attacked. The flies swooped low and dropped ground troops close to the police line. Steve blocked a blast with his shield and in the same motion batted away the closest Chitauri. He pivoted and brought the shield up to parry a spear thrust from another Chitauri, knocking it down with a single punch and then grabbing his spear. He slashed the third Chitauri down with the weapon, and without breaking stride, lunged forward to grapple with the fourth and beat it into submission before throwing it back off the roof of the taxi. Without another word to Steve, the police sergeant started calling over orders into his radio.
I need men in those buildings,
he said, pointing so all his officers could see.
Leave the people down and away from the streets. We're going to send a perimeter all the way down 39th Street.
Steve didn't stop to gloat. There was a war to win. He got back together with Hawkeye and the Black Widow. The three of them took Chitauri down as fast as guns, bows, and shield could do it. Even so, they were close to being overwhelmed, until lightning struck out of clear blue sky, decimating the Chitauri in the area. Thor dropped down to land in front of them. He looked wounded, tired, and as angry as any of them had ever seen a man look. In that moment, Steve was glad he wasn't a Chitauri, and he was especially glad he wasn't Loki. So, what's the story upstairs? He asked.
The power surrounding the cube is impenetrable,
Thor said.
Thor's right,
Tony said as he zipped by overhead.
You've got to deal with these guys.
How do we do this? Natasha asked. As a team, Steve said. Thor was still watching the Chitauri zipping overhead.
I haven't finished business with Loki. Yeah?
Hawkeye said.
Get in line.
Save it, Steve said. Loki's going to keep this fight focused on us, and that's what we need. Otherwise, those things could run wild. We've got Stark up on top, He broke off as a motorcycle engine approached, idling down. Steve glanced over and saw the welcome sight of Bruce Banner. "So," Bruce said, "this all seems horrible." "I've seen worse," the Black Widow said. She knew what she meant. "Sorry." "No, we could use a little worse." "Stark," Steve said into his mic. "We got him."
"Banner?"
Tony said. Steve nodded. "Just like you said."
"Then tell him to suit up. I bring the party to you."
A moment later, they saw Iron Man swoop around a corner to the north. And right behind him, the gargantuan armored Leviathan shattering the corner building as it made the turn in pursuit. I don't see how that's a party," Natasha said. Iron Man dropped and was down to street level, and then the Leviathan followed, smashing cars and streetlights out of the way as it bore down on the group of heroes. "Dr. Banner," Steve said, "now might be a really good time for you to get angry." Bruce was already walking toward the Leviathan. "That's my secret, Captain," he said over his shoulder. "I'm always angry." When he turned back to face the Leviathan, his transformation was already beginning. He grew, his clothes shredding away from his body as ordinary Bruce Banner became the 8-foot-tall, 2,000-pound mass of invincible rage called the Hulk. As the Leviathan ducked its head towards him, the Hulk brought his fist down on the creature's head with a booming crunch that shook the bridge of the Avengers stood on. The Leviathan's head dug into the road surface, plowing up chunks of concrete. Its momentum shoved the Hulk back, but he stopped himself as the rest of the Leviathan's body toppled up and over them. It crashed to the street below and lay still. All over the city, the Chitauri stopped and screeched in sudden shock, as if they had never imagined the great beast could be defeated. The Avengers looked around. All six of them were together as a group for the first time in combat. Maybe the tide was beginning to turn, Steve thought. Then Natasha, looking up into the sky, said, "Guys?" They all looked. More Chitauri poured through the portal, and more Leviathans. What they had thought was a climactic battle had in fact just been the beginning. Thank you everyone for listening to today's episode of Avengers 1.